It's a special week at the Nova Scotia SPCA. This week, we are celebrating National Animal Shelter Appreciation Week. This takes place during the first full week of November in recognition of the various shelter staff and employees that provide care to animals across the province. And we are talking thousands of animals. Today, my guest works with all of those shelter employees and is here to talk about the great work that they do. Alicia Avendano, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're so glad that you're here and that you want to celebrate National Animal Shelter Appreciation Week with us.
I'm so excited as well. I mean, I absolutely love shelter work and I'm very happy to be here and to chat about it.
And so let's start right with the shelter work, because tell us how you started at the SPCA in the shelter.
I did. I actually came and did my veterinary assistant placement with the Dartmouth SPCA. Joined on as a dog care staff member, and then switched over to kitty cats, and honestly just fell so in love with it that I wanted to stick around, because it's such rewarding work, and who doesn't love hanging out with puppies and kittens on the days that we're able to? So, yeah.
And I think what's interesting that if, you know, people, listeners who have heard our podcast over, you know, the Renowned Season 2, is your way of getting to your current role as shelter liaison, which we'll talk about, is not uncommon in the fact that people start here with this love of animals and in one role and then have this opportunity to grow into new roles. And so you are by trade, I guess, a veterinary assistant.
That's right. Yep.
And you've, sorry, no, I just, I've overtalked to you. But you've also worked in other areas of the SPCA. So I want to talk about that too, so people understand the career opportunities.
Absolutely. I mean, myself personally have always been, I guess you could call kind of like a backup house type person. So I was able to help start the Tartan Tails Hospital here in Dartmouth as a veterinary assistant, so it's able to use those skills outside of the animal care aspect, which was really incredible. And then in doing that and kind of dipping my toes into some of the administrative and front-facing pieces that come with the hospital, just realized that I really did love the combination of animals and people, mm-hmm. Which, you know, in a more leadership role like I'm in right now, you get to do all of it. You get to front face, and then you get to also, you know, train and do the hands-on as well. And I think that's a really amazing thing about shelter work, is that there's always a little kind of niche for everyone, whether it's front facing, hanging out with the animals, doing the medical pieces. Like, it's really a variety of roles, I guess you could say.
And I love what you said there, because the other thing that we've touched on in several podcasts is that working in the animal social impact sector is about working with humans just as much as it is about working with animals.
Absolutely, yeah.
And in your role as shelter liaison, you work with the humans in our shelters. So what is a typical, what is the role of a shelter liaison at the Nova Scotia SPCA?
Well, I guess the kind of easiest way to describe it would be it's similar to a regional manager type role. So we get to deal with members of the public on, you know, the levels of adopters or volunteers, but we also assist with other you know, hospitals when we need help with our animals in-house. And then we get to face the hands-on training, like I mentioned before. So for myself, you know, I focus a lot as being more of the animal-focused animal shelter liaison on, you know, really practicing fear-free and safe handling techniques. So look at staff training, you know, finding new ways to incorporate, you know, modern-day animal welfare and shelter skills and knowledge. And I guess overall flow of the operations, be it the administrative side of things, with making sure that, you know, paperwork and data entry is up to date, all the way to, yeah, enrichment with the animals and finding new techniques for training and keeping our dogs especially, you know, busy and active and well enriched.
And you are one of a handful of shelter liaisons that we have, but your catchment area is all our shelters. So how many, do you want to tell everybody how many shelters you liaison with?
Well, we would be looking at 7 total. So we go essentially coast to coast, all the way from Cape Breton down to Yarmouth, or up to Yarmouth, I guess. I'm not geographically sound. I just drive and go and hang out with my incredible staff and animals. But yeah, it's definitely great to have other hands on board as well with the team.
So with 7 shelters, approximately, because I know that seasons change, and how many staff are you working with?
Great question. I think it's must be close to 200. It's, you know, it's a lot of really incredible people that are at every location, some bigger than others. So that's probably what I would round it up to.
And, you know, for listeners who are curious, I mean, that's about 200 employees at those shelters, and we are a 365 day a year organization, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. The animals always need us, so we are on the boots on the ground every day of the year. Rain, shine, power, no power. Everybody is
snowstorms.
Yes, snowstorms, hurricanes. It really depends, you know, on what Mother Nature gives us, but we are always there for the animals. Absolutely.
And so on top of those staff, we also have volunteers.
Yes. Yeah. So incredibly thankful for our volunteers. They come in all different, all different roles and skill sets as well. You know, we have administrative volunteers that are so helpful for our front end staff. Those who come and enrich in the back, you know, it's I can't say that we're not thankful enough in that, truthfully, we utilize everybody who even comes in just to visit and cuddle cats and walk the dogs throughout the day. Like they play a huge part as our volunteers as well, even if it's not necessarily, you know, formalized, it's certainly greatly appreciated.
So can you run through what does a day look like in the shelter for our teams?
Oh, well, that's, I mean, it starts first thing with a debrief, make sure everybody's on the same page for, you know, be it any type of medical concerns, something to look out for, any new critters that have come in. After that, the staff will go and do their morning clean. So that's your classic husbandry, you know, making sure that they've got fresh food, fresh water, you know, clean bedding, that they get medicated, get a little extra snuggle in before the day gets, you know, away from the staff, and, you know, other tasks that could be, oh, I don't know, cleaning.
Lots of cleaning.
Yep, just cleaning everything, always, be it the floors, be it the yards outside, you know, doing, again, that data entry stuff as well, making sure our files are up to date and that our veterinary software that we use is, you know, again, up and running and current. Posting our animals, I suppose. So really after that cleaning piece, then everybody's moving on to that piece, that cleaning, that data entry, updates, you know, our staff are able to vaccinate and do those things as well. So they get those hands-on to make sure disease control is down. And then the best part of the day, in my opinion, is getting to go and hang out with the critters and giving them the enrichment, playing with our kittens and, you know, training our puppies and getting them used to walk on leashes and things like that.
And adopters, we've had close to 5,000 adopted animals last year. And every single one of those adoptions is touched by an employee, a shelter employee, isn't it not?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I think it's another really incredible part of the role that, you know, we get to see people bring home a new family member, But I think it's really rewarding for our staff too, especially the ones that, you know, may have been, be it, you know, sick medically or, you know, shut down because of whatever happened in their past. It really does kind of tie that nice little reward bow, I suppose, on being able to watch those animals kind of go out and start a new life and know that you've played a huge part in that.
I think that's really important because, and I've talked about this before, sometimes when you say, oh, why don't you apply to work at the SPCA, people think, oh, no, well, they say it. I don't think they think it. They go, no, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. It's sad. But working in the shelter, volunteering in the shelter, when you talk to the teams, it's actually rewarding because they get to see this animal, sometimes, like you said, come out of their shell, get healthy, and find loving homes. And we call it now the best day ever. And you took your picture for us in front of our brand new sign in North Nova to say best day ever. And so if somebody wants to, you know, if we wanted to open people's minds as to working in the shelter, what would you say to them? So it's going to be a two-part question. What would you say to them? But also, what is the prerequisite?
Well, I'll start with the prerequisites. There aren't any, really. Like I said before, there's just so many pieces, so many important, crucial team members, and again, little roles and tasks that need to be done that, truthfully, I think anyone who, you know, is willing and wanting to learn can come in. I mean, you know, as we mentioned before, I'm a veterinary assistant, so VA, and so we certainly have, you know, a need for people that have a more medical background or have the experience with animals, or even, you know, administrative. If you've done a lot of data entry before, that's certainly going to kind of assist you going forward, but it's not anything that we can't teach you on the job and kind of have you fully immersed once you join. For those who are considering it, I certainly suggest volunteering, kind of dip your toes in it. It is very much a high risk, high reward, I think is the best way to put that. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, I won't lie and say that there aren't moments that are tough, but I think it's like that with any job. And mm-hmm. the reward is really, it is really the best day ever. It's a perfect way to put it from an adopter's point of view, but a staff point of view too, because again, you're getting that emotional, you know, cup being filled to see that, you know, even though there's hard times, the times that are great are so, well, so much greater, I guess, that it really makes it all worth it.
I agree. And I think you're right. I think that when you put it into perspective of like, anybody you talk to is going to have hard days at their job, no matter where they work. We just have that extra special of like the finding the loving homes. A word that I've heard a lot and just, you know, want people to understand like the importance of it, and that our staff are great at doing it. Our volunteers are wonderful at doing it. What do we mean? Like what is it when you say enrichment of the animals?
Well, I guess you could look at it kind of like a garden when you add, you know, extra nutrients and vitamins to your soil so that your plants are, well, fuller, you know, grow quicker, last longer. It's the same concept on the, you know, emotional, mental parts of our animals. So it's really just bringing that one-on-one time so that, you know, animals, although they can't talk, are looking to have that interaction, that conversation, if you could call it that, with someone who's giving them that extra love. So it could be, you know, there's six, if we're being really technical, different types of enrichment that you can provide.
Can you name all six?
Oof, off the top of my head, let's see. There's sensory. There's physical. So your sensory one would be things like taking your dog on a sniff walk rather than just that in and out for pee and poop. So allowing them their time to kind of, well, use all six senses, I guess, is the best way to look at that. So your physical, again, would be the running, right? If you're playing Fetch. Fetch is a double whammy, though, because then that is another mental enrichment. It's playing a game. It's keeping their mind busy. You can do that with even training something as little as sit or paw. That's all stuff that's kind of filling their cup rather than taking away from it the same that, you know, you would if you're doing your favorite after-work activity. So that was three. I'm missing more. There's food. So snacking, I mean, I think it's the same. It's the taste. It's the whole, you know, something delicious, giving them a snuffle mat if you have kitties so they can kind of, you know, lick through and paw through to find their treats. And then there's just human interaction. So that snuggle, that, you know, pat, brushing, those are all going to be big pieces that just kind of releases endorphins, makes everybody, you know, feel well-loved and cared for.
I think it's really interesting because when I learned that when a dog is sniffing and their heightened senses compared to us and why it seems sometimes when I'm going for a walk and I'm like, come on, let's go. And it's like, you don't need to sniff every blade of grass. Mm-hmm. It's actually like, yes, the dog does. And it's an enrichment for them. I definitely changed how I was on our walks because I think sometimes I'm guilty and I think we all are. It doesn't seem like a physical, let's go outside. Sometimes it seems like, oh, gotta walk the dog out. I'm gonna get a walk today. Let's go, I've got things to do. But once I learned about that, I changed. And then the other would be like the lick mats. Mm-hmm. That's a form of enrichment?
Absolutely, yes, yeah.
What do you recommend goes on the lick mat?
Ooh, really depends on the animal. You know, if we're talking our, you know, allergy critters out there, certainly pick their, you know, diet specific wet food and really smear it in, which can be very taxing. And I'm sure anyone who deals with animals, be it in veterinary medicine or in sheltering, are probably slightly eye rolling to some of the, you know, ZD diets, which are, again, a allergy specific wet food that is really difficult and crumbly, but there's always ways to do it with warm water. But for others, I mean, Cheese Whiz, peanut butter, regular wet food. You can always stick them in the freezer too. So if you are trying to keep it, you know, calorie smart, if we want to call it that, because we do have to keep that in mind as well. You can chuck it in the freezer and it just makes it that extra layer more difficult to kind of get to the end of that lick mat. So then that works kind of on the mental enrichment as well as the flavor.
And be careful with your peanut butter. Yes. You don't want peanut butter with, there's a xylor.
Oh, xylitol. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, definitely have to look at all natural peanut butter would be the best, just good old fashioned peanuts. But I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Kraft is, you know, very average household peanut butter and is xylitol free, but would always double check with any non-pet specific food they use.
Always check, but also hashtag not sponsored by Kraft if they want to give us a call. All right, so you said another thing in your list of enrichment, and it was fetch. And that's actually the game that we play with our guests. So, Alicia, can I offer you some enrichment in the form of a lightning round of Go Fetch?
Beautiful. Yeah.
All right, are you ready?
Ready.
What was the name? What was your first pet?
Oh, Mia, I think.
Mia was a?
Cat.
Well, that's such a
name. Yeah.
If animals could speak, who would be the nicest?
Oh, guinea pigs.
If animals could speak, who would be the meanest?
Gotta give it to our kitty cats, I think.
And Alicia, in your role as a shelter liaison, you are helping shelter employees and volunteers and animals find their loving homes. You are a hero to them. Who is Alicia's hero? That dramatic pause and look is what we get every time we play.
It's a big one. Who is my hero? Well, animal related, I think Miss Betty White.
Excellent. And that was our game of Go Fetch. Thank you. Do you feel enriched?
Absolutely. Got the mind thinking, got the hands moving. That's two out of six right there.
So National Animal Shelter Appreciation Week recognizes the hardworking people who are supporting the efforts in our shelters at finding loving homes for pets. Can you talk about some of the animals, how we get animals in our shelters that our staff are helping?
Absolutely. There's I would say three major reasons, owner surrender being one of them. So just circumstances change and the owner is no longer able to care for said animal. So they, you know, phone us, we do a triage system, and then we bring them in, you know, as space allows. There is just running at large, or what, you know, we would call a stray animal. So kind of no home, found roaming about. And then the last one would be, you know, in our unfortunate cases of cruelty, where, you know, they would come in through our investigations team as well.
And so there's a variety of ways that animals come in. And the most common animals we see would be dogs and cats.
Dogs and cats. Yep, absolutely. Rabbits seem to be kind of trying to get their name up on the board for sure. So we have seen a lot more of those smaller critters as well. But certainly the most would be cats and dogs, yeah.
What are some of the interesting non-cats, dogs, rabbits that our shelter teams have worked with in your time here?
Ooh, I do think that would be lizards, big lizards. Their official name is escaping me right now.
The tank is
terrible. Yes, I think there you go. Look, you knew I was like somewhere. They were here.
They were here. Yes.
Yes. I think that's probably the most interesting direct handling. Myself personally, during the wildfires, did check on an axolotl, I believe is the correct pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that is probably by far the coolest critter that I saw in my years here.
We actually had a couple of axolotls, believe it or not. And you know, you touched on it, mm-hmm. which was the wildfires, and we had talked about snowstorms and all that the SPCA has gone through in 18 months, wildfires. It's what Nova Scotians have gone through, right? Wildfires and flooding and snowstorms and...
Oh, so many things, Sarah. Truthfully, I could probably do an entire episode just on me talking about the staff that we have. But truthfully, it is your efforts never, ever, ever go unnoticed. You are, you know, all integral pieces of, you know, all the animals that we see, all the people that we help, you know, the communities, these, again, really intense, strenuous situations. You guys are the glue and could not thank you enough. And I'm very, very lucky to work with each and every one of you.
That's lovely. And I'm going to just, you know, I think ditto, all of us would say ditto to that. Well, Alicia, thank you for being here today, this week, celebrating National Animal Rescue Shelter and Rescue Appreciation Week. And we say here at the SPCA that a shelter is not a replacement for a home. What I heard from you today, though, is shelter is a great place to work.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like this podcast, guess what? We do it every 2 weeks. 2 weeks of learning something new about the Nova Scotia SPCA and the animal social impact sector. Please subscribe. And why don't you share this podcast? Share to let Nova Scotians who love animals join us in the appreciation of our shelter teams.